Tipsnet for May the 13th.
Okay. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet for Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed tape radio amateurs are certainly welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a BL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a BL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide, number one, to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and number two, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. We call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask you for those particular questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSnet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described, and that'll take the bulk of the meat of the net. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to slot, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," release the mic button, and ensure that no one else is called at the same time you have. Let's call doubling. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or a question. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening, Tim. No questions at this point.
Here is Whiskey 1 Romeo Papa Queen Bob in Montville with one question.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. No questions yet.
November Kilo 1 Victor, Steve, Coventry. No questions yet.
South Carolina, and no questions.
Okay. We have Dave, K1DCT, Bob, W1RPQ, with a question, Kevin, KA6PDG, and Steve, NK1V, and Chuck, N1SBX. Okay, any more check-ins, please call now. Okay, I think we'll jump right to Bob and get right into it. Bob, W1RPQ, please present your question.
This is W1RPQ. My question tonight is I have a 6-meter wire dipole antenna, and I'm wondering, is there a specific height off the ground, a minimum height that should be, or just try to get it up in the air as high as I can? It's pretty short, so it's not that long, but it is a center-fed dipole with a balun in the middle, and I just want to know how high I should get that up in the air. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, very good. Good question. I think I have a hunch, but I'm not that experienced, so we're going to jump back up now to Dave, and then we'll jump over Bob and continue down the list, and then come back around to Dave. Come back around to Bob, rather. Okay, I'll get my brain together again. So Dave, K1DCT, any advice for Bob about the height to mount a center-fed 6-meter dipole?
Good evening to all, K1DCT. Well, like most antennas, you want them at least halfway above the terrain, which of course in 6 meters is about 3 feet off the top of my head. So, you know, at least that high, and I don't think that'll be a problem. And so the other thought being, yes, as high as possible. With that said, has been my experience, sometimes you put her up as high as possible, and sometimes you need to lower it down a little bit to find, we'll call it the sweet spot. So that's about it. Obviously, you know, a little more VHF-y. That's a new word I just coined. So, you know, a little more horizon oriented, but so obviously height would be usually a good thing. So that's my totally uninformed opinion. K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. Just to make sure I have my notes right, did you say 3 feet or 3 meters above the ground?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. At least 3 meters above the ground, which is, 3 yards. So, you don't need a lot. Yes, my error.
Okay, not a problem. Just wanted to make sure that I heard it correctly. I heard it correctly, but it needed correcting. Okay, very good. Let's jump down to Kevin, KA6PDG, to see if he has any comments about that or anything else that might have tickled his brain in the meantime. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim. Good evening to the TipsNet. Well, the only thing tickling my brain right now is coffee as I try to wake up from my nap. I don't think I have anything to contribute. I've sort of dealt with antennas in a rather unscientific way, meaning get them up as high as you can and have them outdoors rather than indoors. I realize that's not a perfect formula, but it's worked for me so far. That being said, I'm not currently on 6 meters, but I'll listen to the conversation intently because I hope that I'll be on 6 meters sometime this year. That's what I'm hoping anyway. KA6PDG. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Well, I hope it works out for you that you could get on 6 meters. Okay, let's move on to Steve and see if he's had any 6 meter experience with dipoles and whatnot, or any comments about that, or anything else he'd like to bring to the group this evening. NK1B, this is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Evening. Tonight, working on a 6 meter dipole, I have some miscellaneous aluminum tubing trying to find solid pieces long enough, and actually found some split pieces with an inner piece that you can attach. You know, it's a piece of an old beam of some sort that'll actually give me some adjustments. So I might go that route. But that being said, my thoughts were horizontal up, because I'm going to be, you know, lowering the tower and doing some antenna changes, of course. And I'm thinking about putting the 6 meter dipole up once I get it all set. And I was going to put it as high, pretty high up, you know, so I could rotate it. And I'm thinking now, I've had some actually really good luck, especially on 20 and 10 meters and stuff, being closer to the ground with some ground dwellers. I think sometimes they could say the half wavelength above the ground on a horizontal dipole, there's a like Dave says, a sweet spot. If I was doing repeater work, you know, FM, vertical, I would definitely want the thing as high as I could possibly get it. But it's a good question. Also, I question my application too, if I should be going that high. I don't really have a choice being on the rotor. I have to be almost at the top of the tower. But that is interesting, because I'm thinking back on some of the testing I've done. I've had some situations where higher is not always better with SSD. Back to net, NK1B.
That was a good coincidence, the fact you've been working on a 6 meter dipole yourself. And interesting your comment about trying to configure it so that it's adjustable, you know, depending on how you want to tune it to what part of the band. And you'll have to let us know how you make out once you get it up there and it gets rotatable, and see, you know, if you're happy with the performance. Okay, we're going to go down to Chuck, N1SBX. I suspect he's dealt with 6 meter and dipoles before. Maybe he's got some thoughts on the subject as well. N1SBX, this is KC1TWR. It looks like he dropped from Echo Link, so I'll keep an eye open for him. If he comes back in again, we'll make sure to plug him in at some point during the discussion. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, and at this point I'm going to do another call out for any check-ins, so if you would like to join the discussion, either about 6 meters or anything else you'd like to bring to the club, or any questions you might have, please call now.
November Radio United.
Okay, I heard a November something something United. Can you slow down a little bit and give it to me phonetically? Thank you.
Radio Uniform, KF5NRU, Matt, Crichton.
Okay, very good. What happened was that I'm on Echo Link, and for whatever reason, Echo Link bit off the first part of your call sign when you first said it. That's why I heard the November in the uniform, but missed all the rest. So, Matt recognizes KF5NRU, Matt Bratton, and any other check-ins, please call now.
This is K1JMN, Jerry and Preston.
Okay, and that Mike recognizes Jerry, K1JMN. Any further check-ins? Okay, to recap, because we were at the bottom of the list, so we're going to give Matt and Jerry instant service before we go back to the top of the list. The conversation so far is centered around Bob. WNRPQ is putting up a 6-meter dipole, center fed dipole, and was asking about what height from the ground would be best. And so far the answer seems to be probably half of that, so about 3 meters off the ground might be the sweet spot, might not. Of course, it'll take some tinkering. So, but you're welcome to comment on that, or if you have something else you'd like to bring up for discussion, so you're certainly welcome to do that. So we'll turn to Matt, KF5NRU. This is KC1TWR.
This is KF5NRU. Matt here in Groton. Now, I am not a RF engineer by any standpoint or means, but I did used to install VHF, UHF antennas in emergency vehicles and other vehicles. I worked for a little place called Main Trading Company in Paris, Texas. And I'll tell you what we were taught, what we learned, and what the standard was for VHF, which 6 meters is VHFE, as the newly coined word. I forgot who coined it. I forgot his name. But he just coined it in this net. Anyway, it's the standard is a quarter wave off of anything, either above anything grounded, level with or above anything grounded or groundable, and a quarter wave off if you can't get above it. So if it was the bed of a truck, you'd want it, you know, a 2-meter antenna somewhere, you know, a quarter wave off the cab, because the cab's grounded. So I think the same thing would apply horizontally to the ground if you're talking about 6 meter. And other than that, if you're trying to get distance, like local distance, I would just go for height. If you're trying to hit skip, then I can't really help you there. It would be said, right, that a quarter wave or a half wave off the ground would be all you need for skip. I don't know. That's my thoughts. KF5NRU, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Yes, all thoughts and information are good. A lot of what you said makes sense. And now move down to Jerry, who I don't think has played at all with 6 meter yet, but you never know. You might have some thoughts and about that, or you might have something else you'd like to bring to the net. K1JMN, this KC1TWR, and the tips then.
Oh, good afternoon, Tim and everyone else on that. No, I don't have any real questions tonight. I just wanted to listen in and see what I can learn by listening. So, K1JMN, back to net.
Okay, very good, Jerry. No problem at all. Absolutely listen in, comment, see what you think. Okay, we're going to go round robin to the top of the heap again. And I've kind of put Bob at the top because he's the first one that had a question. And so we'll go from Bob to Dave and then to Kevin and do it that way. I think that'll work out best. So, Bob, are you on RPQ? Has any of this been of, you think has been of use for you? This is KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
This is W1RPQ. Well, everything is of use. You learn something new every time. I think I will start probably up around 20 feet and see how that goes and bring it down or bring it up, as was suggested, to see if I can find a sweet spot. I'm not really looking for anything in particular except to get started on 6 meters. So that'll do it for me, and probably more likely FT8 for now, as well as maybe some voice, but definitely for FT8, so that is not as critical, but we'll give that a shot. I don't have any additional questions yet, so I'm just going to pass it back to net control. This is W1RPQ.
Okay, very good, Bob. And you'll have to let us know next week or two how you make out and how things go for you. And at this point, we'll go back to Dave, K1PCT, the author of the VHFE, and see if he has any other words he'd like to coin or any other thoughts about something you might want to discuss. Back to you, K1DCT from KC1TWR.
All right, well, thanks again for the opportunity to jump in here. This is K1DCT. I don't think I'll coin any more words tonight. As far as thoughts in my head, quite a number of them scare me. But we didn't talk about orientation that Steve brought up. So, I mean, in Bob's case, it's going to be a dipole, so if you set it up as a sloper, you can probably use it pretty much everywhere. You know, nothing calculated here, purely tried and true experience I had in the good days when the bands were open, the radio gods were smiling on us, and you could work the world on less than 100 watts. I had a 6-meter transverter that put out 10 watts to a 6-meter dipole set up as a sloper. The high point around 35 feet and sloping down from there. And on that 10 watts, I worked all over the U.S. So, the band is good. And of course, with the advent of FDA and some of these digital modes, it really very good performers. That's a possibility. As far as Steve goes, he's going to put a beam up, lay it at about 45 degrees, and, you lose a little bit both ways, but you can play both worlds. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, thank you, Dave. That's interesting comments, and, yeah, I mean, I guess that's halfway between horizontal and vertical as your sloper, more or less. But, we'll see if Steve can do a 45 degree on his. I think he considers it because of the, depends on the other antennas that are up there, and if he's going to put on a rotor, that's going to mean it's going to have more footprint as far as turning and traveling around. And speaking of bands opening, it's been my impression, talking to various people, that the bands do seem to be opening up a little bit more, and I'm going to talk to the next person who's up on 80 meters and 40 and what have you every so often, like most mornings, I think, and see if he's noticed any differences in what's been happening out there with the sun and the bands. Kevin, K6PDG, this is KC1TWR with the tips then.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Well, I probably know a little bit more about that than I do about 6-meter dipoles, but I've been listening intently. As far as the other, the HF bands, because as Matt aptly pointed out, 6 meters is, in fact, VHF-y. But as far as HF-y stuff, oh, there I coined one. I cheated, didn't I, Dave? I would say 20 meters has definitely been more lively the last month and a half or so than it has, I think, in a couple of years, at least. 40's been pretty good. The thing about 40 and 80 is with the sun coming up earlier, I find some of the nets I usually enjoy checking into in the mornings that might convene at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning. The sun comes up earlier, the band starts to go out, and the past two times I tried to participate in the underwater sound lab net on 3941 at 9 o'clock in the morning, I've just had a really rough time copying most of the stations. Let me reset. Good time for Bob to get into 6 meters from everything I've heard. 6 meters tends to be pretty active, or relatively so, during the summer, more so than the winter. And by the way, speaking of seasons, I remember reading articles last fall and last summer that said this winter, meaning the winter we just went through, you might as well sell your HF gear and just use 2 meters, because HF will be useless. Well, that absolutely was not the case, so you got to be careful what you read. Sometimes we hams like to bloviate a little bit. But yeah, I would say the HF bands are, it looks like the sun is getting a little bit more sunspotty, slowly, and we're on the upswing into the next cycle, sunspot cycle, 24, 25, I don't remember what number it is. And I guess that's all from me for this round, K6PDG.
The problem with the sun is going to continue until about June 20th, when we have a summer solstice, and then it'll start to reverse. And you'll be happier in the wintertime when it stays darker longer. But no, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to do another call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club at TipsNet. You don't have to be a member to join. Anyone is welcome to join this net. It's here for everyone's use to ask questions concerning amateur radio, give advice, or general chit-chatter, or if there's anything of interest you came across you'd like to share with the group this evening. And if you'd like to join the net, please come with your call sign now.
Here is... Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton, good evening, no questions.
Okay, net recognizes Chuck WNFJW, any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Chuck, we're about halfway down the list, so we will get to you. Next person on the list is going to be Steve in K1B. I wonder if he has what he thinks about Dave's comments about a sloper, and also I'm curious what his thoughts are on the band's opening. And K1B, this is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo with the tips then.
N3FJP's DX spotting thing, I saw quite a bit of 6 meter action. I heard nothing, but there's a lot of stuff on the spotting thing. I think I will be going with the 6 meter. It's going to be a simple dipole, and I think I will leave that completely horizontal, because just and take what I can get. I'll put it 90 degrees from the direction of the beam, and I would put it in the same direction, I guess, technically, and get what I can get. I'm still on the fence about, I actually purchased a 10-element 2-meter Yagi. I ran out of energy to mess around with that quad, and hopefully, but I do need to put that, to get the stability I want, I have to go with a fiberglass mask, so adapting the steel to galvanize to the fiberglass is also a project I'm working on to make that sure that's strong enough. So I'll see. I'll probably have the dipole 6 meter just below the 2 meter Yagi. I think for now I'm going to try a vertical, because I'm very interested in trying to do some FM stuff, hit some further away repeaters, especially towards the southeast and southwest. I don't get much of anything to the north, and just see what happens. And then I hope only to lower this tower one more time before the summer. Hi. I'm back to net and K1V.
surrogate. Hopefully it'll all work out and we'll be able to get the metal to the fiberglass worked out okay. And let's move on down to, Chuck at 91SBX still is not back in Tanglewood, so real life must have called. Now we'll move on to Matt, KF5NRU, and see what he thinks about all this talk about the both the 6 meter and band-wise. I don't know if you get on HF at all, Matt. Maybe you can let us know. KF5NRU, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR from KF5NRU. Thanks. So I don't have 80 meters. My little old Yaesu will tune up 80 meters, but it doesn't listen real good there on the 40 meter band, 40 meter dipole at about 25-ish, maybe 30 feet of bands. But I've been doing a lot of 40 meter contacting. I've had a little bit of DX to Europe, of course being a general class, there's a very small window there at the bottom of my band privileges, which allow me to really get into Europe. Talked to Italy, some into Russia, some into the UK, but nothing substantial. 40 meters seems to be open and popping, but as far as 20 meter and 10 meters go, I had a local 10 meter contact because I got on and called CQ on 10 meters for a short time, and there was a guy here, I forget his call sign already, I'd have to look in QRZ, but he was very close, like 2 to 3 miles away, and I got him on 10, and then other than that, the bands have been quiet for me, anything above 40, but that's all I have on that. KF5NRU, back to net control.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. And hopefully the bands in the 20 meter and what have you will start opening up. We hear some reports that they are opening up, so maybe it partially might have something to do with your antenna. Not blaming it, just trying to point out that some people are saying 20 topping and you're saying I'm not seeing much in the higher frequencies. Maybe it's something that needs a second look. But on the other hand, I could be all wet, could be working perfectly. So I'm the last one that should be making suggestions like that. Okay, let's move on to Gary, K1JMN. And find out how he's doing with preparing for his next exam, because he's going to try and move up to general, where he can start popping into the HF areas. K1JMN, KC1TWR.
Thank you, Tim. KC1TWR, K1JMN. I'm doing my studies, continuing my online studies for my general license, and hope to get a pass on May 30. So I'm keeping at it, still working at it, and still positive, and we'll see what happens. So talk to Josh. K0JOB about a receiver, a transceiver, and trying to get ready for the field day come the end of the June. If I have my license by then, I should be able to get on the air. Let me reset. And if we have to do the field day locally at your home, at our home base, then I'll have a dipole up in the trees, and hopefully I can work it. And he says that there's an online program where you can do your local contacts on that. So I'm going to get hooked up with that link as well to record my contacts if I get my general. All right, this is K1JMN, back to net.
All Okay, very good, Jerry. I'm sure you're going to do well with all the practice you're going through for the general exam, and that'll be just in time for you to really hit the HF bands for the cars outside. HF bands for field day, whether it's so we can get together someplace or whether it's got to be each to their own. So we'll see how that works out. Okay, we're going to move on to truck W1FJW. We were talking about the, I don't know how long you've been listening, we've been talking about the 6-meter dipole, how high off the ground it should be and whether it should be sloping or just horizontal, and also wondering how the bands are doing for you, W1FJW, and anything else you'd like to bring to the table, W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I'm thinking the antenna should be nearly horizontal. One end should be a little lower than the other. There's a bit of a vertical component to reach repeaters and mobile units, but for the most part, it should be flatter than 45 degrees. It's mostly horizontal. I assume it's for somebody here in New England. We're kind of at the northeast corner of the country, so you'd want one end of the antenna to be heading northwest and the other end heading southeast. That way the antenna will be looking northeast and southwest, which is where the bulk of the country and where Europe and, you know, where you're most likely to pick up signals. And you want the reflection off the ground to mix well with the sky wave so that you get good skip properties. So that would mean it should be about a half wave above ground, or about 3 meters, or about 9.7, call it 10 feet up. So I'd say put it 10 feet up, a little bit off horizontal, and heading towards the middle of the country, you probably do well. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck. And yeah, that was Bob, W1RPQ, who was asking the question that we started with this evening. And we're at the bottom of the list. I'll do a quick call out, then we'll come through the list one more time before we get to the second section. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. If anyone else would like to join this evening, please call now. Okay, hearing nothing, we'll circle back to the top and check in with Bob, because there's been a few other comments about 6 meter, although I think you've pretty well settled on what you're intending to do. And the question to you is also, how are you finding the bands in the past few weeks to a month? W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
TWR, this is W1RPQ. First, for Jerry, when you get your general license, ham radio outlets, only a couple hours drive, so you can head on up there and pick up whatever transceiver you want so that you'll be ready for field day with a brand spanking new rig, and you'll do just fine. On the 6-meter antenna, Chuck, thanks very much. I did not consider the direction until you mentioned that, and I remembered your help with putting my NFET antenna up, so I will definitely make sure it's facing in the right direction when I set it up. And right now, let's see, 20 meters is fairly active, not as active as it was maybe a half hour ago, but it's pretty active, and 40 meters is doing pretty good tonight, so pretty decent night. And I've noticed the last few nights it's been getting better. So I think most of the winter 20 meters was kind of dead by now. So looking forward to things picking up this summer. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And yeah, see, long loss gains every time we go around the list of people. That's good. Okay, let's move on to Dave, K1VCT. And I guess at this point, the question to you is, are you finding the bands in the past few weeks to a month or so doing better than they have been? K1DCT, KC1CWR.
All right, well, good evening again to all. This is K1DCT, and I'm glad Chuck brought up the orientation. I neglected to talk about that, and I wouldn't even, you know, also thinking about orientation, we have to do with what we have to do with, so depending what you have. So, that said, let's see, the bands, yeah, I don't know, they're kind of sad. In my opinion, I mean, not that I haven't worked anything good. A lot of it's been digital, the new digital, I'll specify, not CW or RIDI, although I did have some RIDI stuff in here. Those are the original digital modes. But, you know, just this month, I've worked into Ireland, Netherlands, the Canary Islands. I worked the coast of Africa, the Ivory Coast of Africa. You know, Poland. So, I mean, I'm getting out there. Italy today. So, you know, it's not great, but you know, and if I look at the solar cycle, since the beginning of the month, the sunspots have been zero all month so far. So, good thing they can't go negative. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. I think we'd all be in trouble if they went negative. Okay, thank you for that report. And next we'll move on to Kevin, KA6PDG. I think you already told us what you were thinking of the band. But anything else you'd like to bring to the meeting this evening, KA6PDG, KC1TWR?
Well, I'll just mention in passing that I am hearing more and more folks talk about 10-meter openings, and somebody mentioned I think it was Matt, that he'd been on 10 recently. I've noticed with the Flying Saucer Net Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, gradually I'm starting to hear some of the stations that I couldn't hear at all before. And I'm hearing the net control better. K1ZE, who's up in the Killingly Putnam area, I believe. So there is hope for 10 meters. I'll leave it at that because I'm going to have a few announcements and I'll make up for my lack of talking then. K6PDG.
Okay, very good, Kevin. And yeah, speaking of the Flying Saucer, yeah, this is kind of directed towards Matt. It's every Thursday evening from 9 to 9:30. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that they're at 28.475 or thereabouts, but that's the planned frequency that they use. And it's with a specifically set up like that for the technician class, because that's within the technician class range in order to help get them more into the HF area. But let's go ahead and move on to Steve and K1B, see if he has any thoughts for this final round. And K1B, KC1TWR.
NK1B. Just actually been roaming in my head around thoughts now of sloping and odd angles and stuff, and I was just poking around a little bit while I was listening on the interweb, as we call it. And it seems like that's, other than for satellite communication and such, it seems like a very popular method for Wi-Fi transmission over distances, which I guess is in the gigahertz range. But they're using two directional antennas, and they're putting one 45 degrees leaning one way and one 45 degrees leaning the other way. And they must be phasing them somehow, and seems to be everywhere. Like, that has really good results. But anyways, just thinking about it, slopers and stuff, it might be something I can add into my POTA Parks on the Air toolkit also, because some of them look relatively, and maybe I've already done some slopers on it, I think about it, some NFEDs, and maybe I've already indulged in that. But anyways, thinking about that, more things to think about, more projects that I may or may not get to. Back to net and K1B.
Okay, very good. And speaking of Parks on the Air, we just had two of the Navy folks who got their technician licenses after Tom WA2RYB's class passed their general this past Saturday. And they're talking about sometime maybe late June going camping and maybe trying to do some activations of Parks on the Air. I believe that was KC1MBX. And I think the other one was KC1B. I think it might be Z. I'll have to look that up later. But just to let you know that they may be looking around for some advice on Parks on the Air. And I think I did mention your call sign as well as Chuck's and SPX as being very experienced at that, probably a good resource. So I hope you don't mind. Okay, next we're going to move on to Matt, and see, I know you said you did a 10-meter contact that was only a couple of miles away, but you might be able to Thursday nights, depending on your work schedule and so forth, try and join that flight. Swasanet, KF5NRU, KC1TWR.
Soon. So,
I will take it easy, take my time, and do, you know, compare options and features on the radios. Let me reset. And then hopefully I'll make a smart choice when I pick out a radio. So there's a lot to learn still. So I won't be rushing into anything too soon. And I want to thank Bob for giving me that advice. I appreciate it. Okay, K1JMN, back to Ned.
Okay, very good, Jerry. Yep, slow and steady, and being careful what you get is always a good thing. And always, as I say, find the radio that speaks to you. Okay, let's move on to Chuck, W1FJW. Any last comments before we close this section of the net and move into the next section? WMFJW, KC1TWR.
No, I didn't really have many more comments other than what I had said before about the 6-meter antenna. That's about all the ideas I have for tonight. Back to that W1FJW.
Okay, very good. We're going to go ahead and close out that first section of that and go into the next section. Quick call out. Anybody else care to join before we go into the next section? Please call now.
Here is Whiskey One, Joey, Oscar Papa. Garden and Groton.
This is John, W1JOP. Any other check-ins, please call now. Okay, John, we're going to give you an instant service. Have you been able to listen very long, and do you have any comments about what we've been talking about, or is there anything you'd like to bring to the table? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
Yeah, first of all, I'm not sure who checked in on this net tonight, but I would like to apologize for my apparent disregard last of not paying attention before you check into a net. I just came into the room, heard a net on, and assumed it was the horizontal engineers, and I'd just like to apologize about that. Anyway, with that, there's nothing else I'd really like to add. Like I said, I don't really know who checked in. I just got in the room, and I'm appropriately doing this as I was last night. And I do apologize. This is W1JOP.
Nothing to apologize for, John. And, boy, work must be taking a toll on you if you think for the horizontal engineers it's on Wednesday. But I've had days I thought it was a different day. If you want to go ahead and continue to listen, we're about to go into the announcements and items of interest, followed by the cell swap booking section. So let's go ahead and go into the, we'll go ahead and start the second section of Tips Net. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
With a correction.
KA6PDG has three announcements.
Okay, we'll take them in order. Go ahead, John, with your correction.
No, I was talking about last night's issue. I thought that was the horizontal engineers when I just decided to run my mouth and run comments when truly it was, I think, an on-air club meeting. I realized it was a mistake after I saw what repeater I was on. So I know what now I'm on tonight, but last night I didn't. W1JOP.
And we all have things like that, and we all make mistakes now and then. I don't know how many times I've called this the wellness net and called the wellness net the tips net. So those things do happen. Okay, Kevin, we're going to give you our undivided attention for your three announcements. Please go ahead.
All right, Jim, and while everybody's grabbing their crayon or writing implement, just a comment on your comment about the flying saucer net. It actually does not end at 9:30, like you said. It's Thursday nights from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and sometimes a few minutes after. And yes, you're right, it's on 28.475, and it's a nice group. All right, three here. I'll do the longest one first. The Westcon Traffic Net is having a special activity coming up this Monday evening, May the 18th. Monday, May 18th, the net meets nightly at 8:30, but this coming Monday night, they are not going to be accepting routine traffic. If there happens to be any priority or emergency traffic, of course, they'll handle that. But in lieu of the normal traffic and normal net proceedings, they're going to have a special program with a guest by the name of Dr. Ed Snyder, who I believe is a ham. Dr. Snyder works at Yale New Haven Hospital, and he's going to be talking about COVID-19 and what we know about it and where it came from and how it gets into the body and what it does and what it doesn't do, and a lot of interesting details. So let me give the information. That's going to be this coming Monday night, starting at 8:30. The best way to get into Westcon from this part of the state is through the 145.41 repeater. 145.410 repeater. Obviously, the input's down 600, and the PL is 141.3. That's 141.3 hertz. Now, also going along with Dr. Snyder's talk is going to be a slide presentation. If you're interested in being able to view the slides while you're listening to him give his program, you may send an email to KiloBravo1, November Mike Oscar, KB1NMO@ARRL.net. Again, KB1NMO@ARRL.net, and you'll be sent these slides in the email and be able to watch those while you're listening to the program. All right, that I think is the end of number one. Let me pause for number two here. Announcement number two, tomorrow the Connecticut Air National Guard Military Flight Wing is going to be doing flyovers of several hospitals and other medical facilities around the state to honor healthcare workers. They're going to be flying a C-130 aircraft. They're going to be doing flyovers in the following locations. All of these times are give or take 5 minutes. I'm just going to give the ones for Eastern Connecticut. Times are give or take 5 minutes. L&M Hospital, 12:32 p.m. This is tomorrow, May 14th. L&M, 12:32 p.m. Backus Hospital, 12:36 p.m. 12:36 p.m. Wyndham Hospital, 12:40 p.m. 12:40 p.m. Putnam, Day Kimball Hospital at 12:45. 12:45 tomorrow afternoon. And I don't know the name of the facility up in Stafford Springs. Stafford Springs flyover at 12:51. 12:51 p.m. The public is invited to observe the flyover safely from their homes, practicing social distancing. Do not gather in crowds, etc. End of number two, and a quick one for number three. Please remember the Saturday morning breakfast roundtable at 8 o'clock on the Norwich repeater, assuming the repeater is feeling well. That's on 146.730, PL156.7. Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock in lieu of the normal breakfast that we haven't been able to have here for a few weeks. because we've all been bad. Everybody's welcome, very informal. It's not really in that, just sort of a informal round table. And we talk about golly knows what. And if the Norwich repeater is having problems, we'll meet on 146.97 repeater in Waterford. Courtesy of Scrams, that has the same PL tone as Norwich. There, I'm done. KH6PDG, back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. And the Stafford is the Johnson Memorial Hospital. Just as an FYI, I quickly looked that up. Okay, anybody have any questions or comments for Kevin about any of these announcements, please call now. Anyone have any other announcements or items of interest before we move into the third section? Now for the third section of TipsNet, is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, bargain, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
W1RPQ.
Go ahead, W1RPQ.
I have one item. It's a Mobilink TNC2 Bluetooth unit for doing Winlink, if anyone's interested. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, very good. Anyone have any questions for Bob about the item that he's offering up? Please call now. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, net control to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Complete TipsNet. Are there any additional comments, questions, crosstalk, or check-ins? Please call now before we close the net. Okay, that was the last call. Unless we have no further check-ins, then we go ahead and close the net. I'd like to thank all that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, meaning that that would be Bob, Dave, Kevin, Steve, Chuck, Matt, Jerry, another Chuck, and John. And we'd like to also thank all those that stood by and listened as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month on this same Salem repeater until COVID-19 is over and we can gather again. Then we'll be back at the Red Cross office on Route 32 in Moncton. The meetings start at 7 p.m., which we just had last night, and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening, 73.